This is Nikki Yeboah, and I'm here with Mrs. Ida Pearl on July 3rd, 2017 at the Chamber of Commerce in Hudson, New York. And we are here as part of the Oral History Summer School's Oral History of Hudson. Mrs. Pearl, may I ask you to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Ida Pearl Cross. I've been a resident of Hudson for around 45 years. Yes, I have a husband, 6 kids, and 30 grands, and about 14 great-grandchildren.
45 years.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, for the good and for the bad. Been a lot of changes. Like I say, some for the good and some for the bad. Yeah. When we first got here, it just was, calm, I birthed my kids here, and they liked it. They liked being here, and we always had a lot of neighbors' kids and all around us and everything, and I used to love walking up the streets, going to, they had a store up there called J.J. Newberry's, and I used to love going in there shopping for different things, for the kitchen and different stuff, and another store they had, we could go in there and shop, we also could sit there and eat lunch and everything, and a toy store, they always had really nice things to go up the streets for. That was, it's the good part, but now it's mostly just antiques. They took away all the stores that we really liked. But for those that like antiques, it's good. And I like shopping, so now I go out to Walmart out there. Most of the time. But sometimes we'll take a walk around Hudson still. It's still a beautiful town and everything, but the changes is, changes that I hate is that, I name all my kids, how many kids I say I have. It's just that I feel like in the future that they may not be able to, found apartments and stuff because for some reason it then got very expensive around here, and that's what I think about. Also, they need more places for the kids to, to be able to do things. But I thank God for the Boys Club and Jonas Place, Promise Neighborhood, different people that caring. Like they sent the college kids in to help the kids out, mentors and stuff like that. That's a blessing. I like that. I was just thinking last night when I passed by the firehouse, they had a sign up that they need more volunteers. And I'm saying, I'm always respected that. I love it that they volunteer, to put out fires and stuff. And now we got the volunteer. That did not change. We still want volunteers. But the houses, the rents and all that, they're going sky high where you can't hardly live here. But we still got our volunteer firemen, which is a blessing, I think, I don't know how it's going to end up, but it's definitely a big change. Should I keep talking? Me, around Hudson, I always had a dream of feeding people. especially kids. I love kids. So about maybe 3-4 months ago, I had a chance to feed the community kids every Tuesday. I cook and I feed them, and that was my joy, you know. But they came to us last week and said we had to stop it because the grant ran out. But I'm going to keep praying, you know, that we have, that I can do something else like that. I was also, when that ran out, I was planning on having a soup kitchen. Oh, by the way, years ago, I forget how many years ago, I was in this AMZ Zion Church. I was a missionary, and our president was asking us, what would we like to do for Hudson? And I said that I would love for us to have a soup kitchen. So our president started this soup kitchen, and I was the cook, and it was beautiful. And at the time, Salvation Army, they hadn't started their soup kitchen yet, but the captain, they visited our soup kitchen, and she said, you know what, I'm going to start one too. So I thank God that because of our soup kitchen that they started theirs. Yeah, like I said, it's a lot of good things and a lot of bad things. But we was, you know, we had a church for about 8 years. And I had said I was going to start back cooking, you know, for the community kids. I have a pantry or something. Because I just, like I said, it's my joy of taking care of people and telling them about God. How good God is, you know. Because, like I said, we've been through a lot. But God is good. And I also like that the people in this town respected most of my kids. They always was telling me that I raised good kids. They was always getting leadership awards and stuff like that from different places, and it was good. Like I said, only complaints I have with Hudson now is, well, I'm not really complaining, just that it's different, you know, with the, you can't really walk up the streets like we used to and buy this and that or whatever. And the housing, the rent is just, it's just awful. It's just, it's done went sky high. You know, and I do think about my children and grandkids. Well, another thing is my daughter. She was the first black woman to work in the motor vehicle office in Hudson. That was a blessing, a pleasure. I was so proud of her. You know, as long as Hudson been standing there, she was the first black. So that was an honor. And my husband, supervisor, you know. And my kids got good jobs and stuff working with people. We all are people's people. My son, Willie, my oldest son, I'm, you know, so proud of him. And he always cared for other people, especially older people. It's a blessing to have my son live by an older person because he gonna take care of them just like he take care of his family. And I thank God for them. Thank God for most of them. They care about people. That's something I always like. I appreciate that. That's the way they is to Yeah. Like I said, my husband was supervisor, I think, for like 20-something years. And last year, I still don't understand it, but they changed the ward some kind of way. Like I said, for equal rights or equal something, I don't know. Anyway, they changed the ward, but that took his job away. And so we're dealing with that now. But not help of God, we'll be all right. Yes.
You've given me a lot to think about. There's so many questions I have to ask of you. The first is, you said you moved to Hudson 45 years ago?
Yes, I moved from Florida. I was living in Orlando. When they was building Disney World, I was living there then. And my parents had came up here, and so they sent at me to come up. And I really liked it when I came here. Through the years, people often ask me, when you retire, you think you'll go back to Florida? I said, no, you know, I think I'm going to stay here. I kind of like Hudson. I only doubt it just a little bit now because, like I said, it's houses and then my grandkids, I think they need more to do, you know. But I do appreciate the help coming in, the mentors, the help my grandkids and, you know, my children, most of them are mentors. But I appreciate Hudson care about the kids that way, you know, giving them help, trying to give them something to do. But we definitely need more. Recreation place. We had a skating ring. They closed that down. So it's, and a lot of jobs and stuff was, they've been closed down. But hopefully things will get better. Well,
one of the places you mentioned that you really enjoyed being in was J.J.
Newberry. Yes, I think that's the name of it. It was so long. I think this was the name of it, though. Just every chance I get, I used to walk up the streets to go in there shopping for different things, you know, for the kitchen, socks or whatever, stuff like that. But you can't do that anymore. We also had a toy store up there, but but kids' toys and stuff for the holidays, and right beside it was I can't remember what kind of store that was, but it had a place where you could shop in there for stuff, and you could sit at the counter and order hamburgers and milkshakes and stuff like that, like they do down south. Oh, I like that. But all of that stuff been taken away. Our kids would never see that like that. All they would see is the, you know, what we have now. Yeah.
You mentioned the fact that you had all of your children here. What are your memories of their childhood?
Well, I had two before I came. I was married before I came. I got married again here. The ones you're talking about, the ones here, right, that I birthed here?
I'm more interested in memories of your children's childhood in Hudson.
In Hudson. Yeah. My children's childhood in Hudson was pretty good. I was able to let them walk to the stores and just for a walk around the community with their friends and stuff and not worry about them. And like I said, they was the kind of kids that always drawed other kids. I was always having lots of kids to my house, and by the help of God, I was able to feed most of them, and I loved doing it. They go to church and Sunday school. They always try to have whatever church we was in, had a choir, and it was like fun to sing. We had just a big church choir, and they liked that too. And my kids kept having little girls. So one day they come and ask me, "Well, Mom, Mommy, would you babysit for us?" And I think it was about five little girls babysitting. So it came to me, "You know what? I'm going to start a singing group." So I started a singing group, and I said, "I'm going to call y'all Grandma's Angels." So God is so good, because we started that group in the backyard. I went over there and rehearsed with them, singing and everything. We went all around to church, different churches out of town and nursing homes, and it just was a blessing. And I get full of thinking about it, because it's just a blessing that today, 27 years, they're still singing. They're still Grandma Angels. Yes. And like I said, you know, I know they weren't perfect. They did their little mischievous or whatever. But like I said, most time when people see me, they were saying, "You have some good kids." So that was a blessing, and it made me feel good. Yeah. I had one son that kind of got in trouble. But he turned his life around, and like, he's the one that cares for the elderly people I was telling you about. So he's a sweetheart now. Yeah. So like I said, I don't have too many complaints about us. And I never said, "I wish," you know, a lot of people say, "I wish I could leave here." I never say it's that. You know, it's all right with me. But I wish it was more for my grandkids, you know, stuff to do. Like a movie theater in town they could walk to, you know, or some, you know, some. Yes.
What's a typical day in the life of your grandchildren?
A typical day. It's just, and you know, getting up, getting them, my grandkids. Oh, them coming over and visiting. Just every time that they see me, they just be so, so glad to see Grandmama and make me feel good. And like I said, I love feeding them, just getting them, feeding them. And I make plans to take them to the movie sometime. I got used to our kids moving. And yes, I was a daycare provider, which I love that. I always deal with kids the most of my life. So I raise a lot of kids around here in Hudson, a whole lot. Yes. Thank God for all my grand and great grands. Yes, I have taught some of them, you know, how to cook, and some of them kind of started their own business by cooking or whatever, you know. Just typical day, just being with them, being glad to see them. But I also have two now that I'm raising. They, mom got in trouble, and so I've been raising them now for about 3 years. But I had them quite a while ago. I had five of them. And I guess the system felt like, because I'm sure that's the only reason they did it, that I couldn't handle all five of them because of my age and the kids' behavior. And I did spank them at times when they misbehaved or was disrespectful or whatever. So I got them took away, which broke my heart. But I fight it till I got them. Two of them, at least two of them back. I just was so devastated. I just didn't know what to do. So I just finally wrote a letter and just said, you know, I love my kids, grandkids so much. I don't understand why they was took away. But I will die for them. I love them that much. And eventually, things start coming together. I got them back now. And I thank God for the people that around here that's trying to help me. I mean, I have to say now, there was a time when I was scared to say, I don't believe I could have did it or whatever, because I didn't trust nobody, because I didn't want to get them took away again. But now I can say that I thank God for the help, because I don't believe that I was could do it by myself if it wasn't for the people around here helping me out. I worked with them, like Sue, her name is Sue, and Nick, and Boys Club, and Joni, and all them people to help. They actually help. So this is a place for me to be. Yes. With my trying to raise my grandkids. I learned that, you know, people going out to hurt me, but not to help me, help us and my family. And I teach my kids to love and to care, share. I teach them that. And I have to say, I think I really did a good job with that, me and my husband. Yeah. And that's it. But my mind stays on them farmers a lot. They volunteer a lot. You know, if other things could just stay that way too, you know. Because that really is like a old-fashioned history thing, farmers volunteering. They haven't changed it. That is so nice. I had a brother was a fireman. His name was Leroy Collins. And he had wanted me to just, you know, because we had the church. We don't have it at this moment, but by the help of God, we're going to get it back. He had asked me to, which I would love to do, just have a dinner and just feed all of them and their wives and families and stuff free. And we're going to do that. Because that's something he want me to do. And I wanted to do it. Yes. Am I talking too much? Oh, okay.
Absolutely not. I'm totally interested in everything that you're saying.
Okay.
You mentioned cooking a lot.
Yes. My hobby. It's one of my hobbies.
What is it about cooking?
You know, I don't really can't say what it is, but when I'm cooking, I'm relaxed. I mean, yeah, just cooking and thinking about different things and being able to feed people. I love that for some reason. I always have. That's how my father, my grandparents was too. So I just took that up. Just love cooking and feeding people and people's coming and eating or whatever. Some reason I just love it. Yeah. And when they came to me and told me that I was gonna, will I cook for these kids or sometime like 75, 80 kids or something. Oh, I was really happy about that. I just love to finish cooking and then just go stand out there and just, you know, watch all the kids. So I've been a kids person most of my life. And it's, you know, I like talking to them, you know, telling them what's right and about God and how not to, try not to get in trouble or whatever. And most of all, the kids love and respect me around here, too. I mean, I get a big smile out of most of them, you know, that know me. A lot of them do, but that's a good feeling. Got this. And Miss Pearl, she fed us when I was young, you know. Yeah. My granddaughter Jasmine went to college here. Autumn went to college. Yeah. Young with the college here. You know, I don't have none now, but they did go to college here. So. Yeah. I don't know that you know Leroy and Ernest, Collins and all them. They was good ball players. Ernest is a preacher now. Leroy had went to the pro basketball. He played with the Jaguars. Yeah, that was my brother's child. And Darren and all of them, Malachi and all, they played ball and stuff. I mean, it just hasn't been fine for us. Been pretty good. Like I said, my kids wasn't all good, but most kids isn't all good. But I just thank God, you know, that they wasn't in too big of trouble and stuff. And they was leaders. That I like that.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit about the children that you feed? The kids that you feed?
The children in Hudson? Feed all kind of children. It might be children that some might just want to eat, or some just might want the company, or so. All kind. Like I said, come from different homes. I don't exactly know. Whole lot of them I don't know, but a lot of them I do. They just enjoy it. They just come. They just enjoy being there. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, they enjoy being there, and so I enjoy having them. And I did feed a lot when my kids was coming up, just because they were there playing with the kids. Wherever we lived, the grass couldn't grow around the house because there was always a lot of kids. Always a lot of kids around the house. And when it was time to feed my kids, I just tell them to come on in, and they eat too. And that was every night then. We had a couple of spending the night. I was a weird mom. I didn't like my kids spending the night with you know, other houses or whatever. But anytime a kid asks to spend the night to my house, I let them stay. So I have raised a few kids around here too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I get a lot of respect from them.
What would a typical meal you'd feed your family and neighborhood children look like?
A typical meal? Well, they like big ziti with garlic bread and salad. Shepherd's pie, you know, shepherd's pie with the hamburger and mashed potatoes or whatever. Yeah. I forgot to mention I was so proud of my daughter-in-law that she married my baby. She went graduated from college and became a teacher here too, you know. It's, like I said, it's just some good things happening in Hudson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like an old-fashioned cooker. I don't like the raviolis and all that stuff in the cans. I don't even know too much about them. I never give it to my kids. I always like to do stuff from scratch. So it's kind of hard for me to do the box stuff and the canned stuff and all that. So my kids got used to that. So my son is Larry. He's a chef. Yeah, that's it. Well, all of them can cook, but you know he's our chef in the family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned you had a daycare.
Yes. Yes, I loved my daycare. I had like maybe 6 to 8 kids at a time. Mm-hmm. And it was nice. I loved, you know, my boss and all of them. They was really nice, caring people. I was always care about them because they cared about me, you know, and the kids. I don't have it anymore, but I had it for quite a bit of years. Mm-hmm. I was glad to do it because, like I said, I raised my kids and they turned out all right, and I really did want to help other kids, help people with their kids, and I did. Well, me just... That's the way I am, because I see them on the TV when the kids over there need help over there. I was wishing I had a lot of them to bring over here, and I help take care of them. That's the truth. That's just me, and I'm sure a lot of people feel like that too.
With the daycare, what was it called? Where was it? Could you paint like a picture of your memory of it for me?
It was called Pearl's Family Daycare. It was in my home. And I had different girls helping us out, helping me out with it. And it was a beautiful thing. No, it was open for from 7 to 7 all day. And it was a lot of kids that really needed my help, that I was glad, you know, to be there for them and their parents. pretty good teaching them, you know. I also, you know, teach them, you know, the alphabets or whatever, but I definitely teach them about God. That's my first priority in my life. So I had some parents brought the kids there because they said this kid had started swearing. And that's why they brought him to me, because, you know, the kind of person that they felt like I were, that I can help them. And it was right. The kid stopped swearing. I feel like, you know, if you don't want a kid to swear, you don't swear around them. That's what I feel. And so the kids don't hear me swearing, so they don't do it, you know. Not that I'm no better than nobody else, it's just that they don't hear me swearing. So I guess, oh well, I better not do it neither, you know. She not doing it. Oh, yeah. And the same with my kids. I'm sure that's why they don't swear either, because they don't hear me, you know. I don't get angry. I understand these days that, you know, you can't really chastise the cow like in the children. Like in the old days, they used to spank them or whatever. You can't do that no more. So the parents, so maybe they feel like they have to do a lot of cursing up. Even the teacher, maybe they have to curse, but they have to do something, but that's something I never could do. I never could swear, you know, on the kids. I'm not saying my kids never did swear. I'm just saying that I never, you know, really heard them. Out of respect for me. So if you respect yourself, other people will respect you too. Kids and all.
You also mentioned your church.
Yes.
Can you tell me more about it?
Well, we started years ago. It was called Endless. We named it Endless Love Temple.
Endless Love?
Endless Love. E-N-D-L-E-S-S. E-N-D-L-E-S-S. Endless.
Endless Love.
Endless Love Temple. Yes. We started, we all used to go to the Zion Church, but we left and we started, my husband was the pastor, and we had mostly quite a bit of family, a lot of family, and some other people's. But it just was a joy going, you know, praising God. And we had the choir, the kids choir, our own Grandma Angels, and the youth, and every, you know, Easter or whatever, we'd be overwhelmed with peoples and everything. But we didn't really have a church home. We just was in different places. So the last place we rent was the Mason Hall. They let us rent from them. So we rent there for about maybe 8 years, and come to find out that we wanted to buy. We've been asking them, could we buy the church for a while. We actually could have bought it. They were saying, oh no, because we want to buy it and paint it white and all that. But they said, no, we couldn't buy it. So, my heart, especially my heart, was totally broke when, you know, they was back taxes. So, the city closed the doors. to the church. And it hurt really bad. But we are still trying to get it. By the hope of God, we get it. And we get it back, and we can get the pantry. We can start a soup kitchen and doing more, helping out. What I want to do, help out the kids more in the community, like I always have. The church would be a big thing for that. And I believe it's something that we need. In that part of town where it's at, that's what we like, where it's located. You know. Really strong in our religion. It's non-denominational. Everybody is welcome. And we just go to just lift God up because he's so good. About 10 years ago, my husband had a blood clot in his leg, which went to his heart. And he was in St. Peter's over there for about 6 weeks. He was in a coma for a good 5 weeks. And we just prayed, and God brought him back. The doctors had said, even if he come back, he wouldn't be able to walk or talk like he should. But we just kept praying, and he's walking and talking, and he's doing really good. Yes. I thank God for our religion, our church. And it's a blessing to go to church, you know, for the kids, you know, just let them see, you know, the positive things in life, you know. Learn about the greatest thing of all, which is love. You know, love conquers all. And you teach your kids that so they can know how to act and how to treat people.
You'd mentioned that the church is really important in the part of town that it's in. Can you tell me about the part of town?
It's like down this way, the lower part, where mostly I feel like I could say, I would say like maybe the poor, well, I could say poor because I'm poor too. People that, you know, the less fortunate people, you know, that, like, wouldn't go to some church because they feel like they may not be welcome or whatever. I feel like, you know, they'll come to ours. Yes. And we want everybody to know about God, serving God.
Could you describe that part of town to me as someone that's, I'm not from Hudson, so I don't, what is it like?
It is quiet now, I guess. And, like I say, it's just the people that walk by that street, going to the corner stores. They just built Habitat. I love Habitat. They help people, you know, get hot houses and stuff. They done built like four homes right there in front of the church. And I believe, I don't want to, like I said, I'm going to really say too much, but I believe it's a good place for church, for our church. I said for any church. Seem to be a lot of kids on the street, that part of town. Different people's culture, people's races or whatever. And not just one. Seem to be all races. So hopefully, by the help of God, we'll get it back. On our street, Robertson Street, where we live now, we was the first black to move in that neighborhood. Yes. And now it's quite a bit now. But we were the first black. And we was welcomed with open arms. That was beautiful. But we just had one, you know, kind of prejudice, but he was all right too. But because he saw that we was no harm, you know. We was all right people, so he got all right too. So, but I'm sure before we got there years ago, it was mostly white. I know on that street, and probably Warren, but I don't know. But things can change a lot. Yes. And some for the good, and some not so good, I guess.
Tell me a bit about some of the prejudice you faced when you first moved to...
The prejudice in Hudson? Oh, I came from prejudice, but when I came to Hudson, I guess there were, but I didn't see it too much. Like I said, my daughter was the first one, black person. And that wasn't prejudice. I guess they just, I don't know, they just started it. The work at Motor Vehicle. And I wouldn't, people always said Hudson was prejudice, but a hidden prejudice, maybe so, because, you know, I didn't notice it. Maybe because the way we were, we didn't notice the prejudice too much. But I could tell you about a lot where I come from was prejudice, but not Hudson. I hear a lot about, you know, prejudice around here, but me, myself, I don't see too much of it, you know, because... white, and I get along with, you know, it's everybody. At first when they took the kids, I started to think prejudice, but then I just said, I don't know, maybe that's just the way, or whatever. I wonder if I was white, would they do the same thing, or what? I don't know. But I'm sure a lot of people can tell you about different precious acts or moves, but maybe I don't get around that much. And, you know, I was happy that my daughter was the first to work at the motor vehicle. My husband was the first, black elected supervisor in Hudson for 20-some years.
When was your daughter the first person to work at the motor vehicle? Do you remember what year?
What year was that? Let's see. I don't know. Was it about 3 years ago? Maybe 3 years ago. She stopped working there about 3 years ago. So maybe, like, I forgot how long she was, when she started. But we were so proud of her. And she felt funny because she felt like, there was times she felt funny. She felt like some people was kind of prejudiced towards her. And, you know, maybe they were because they wasn't really used to, you know, seeing a black person there. So it was a change. So that was the problem. But, so it got to be all right. I think my husband was the first black person to, no, he was the first black male to be on the school board. I was proud of him. A lady named Linda Williams was the first black person to be on the school board in Hudson, yes. All these years. None of that happened till we was here. Yeah.
And when was your husband on the school board, elected to the school board?
My husband was on the school board a while ago, maybe 15 years or something. He was on the school board for a while. Yeah. Now my daughter on the school board now. Yeah. She's doing good. She also running for her dad's job, supervisor.
You mentioned your daughter has moments when she questions if the people that she works with are prejudiced. Do you have any stories where she comes to you and says, "Mom, this happened"?
Well, yes, she told me stories. I can't hardly remember them exactly. Like she said, you know, different people's coming in and seeing her, and just their reactions made her feel uncomfortable, you know. So, like I said, she told me different things. kind of forgot. But, you know, if you could hang in there and let people see how you are, sometimes, most of the time, whether you're black or white, their actions are changed towards you. If you could just hang in there. Sometimes it's hard to hang in there if people not treating you right. But things got better with her.
Can you tell me a little bit about your journey from the Zion Church to the church that your family founded?
The Zion Church? Oh. Well, when we was, I love the Zion Church. I mean, they treated my whole family really good. But I just come from a different religion, which is holiness, and they was Pentecostal, and Zion Church, that's the only thing they wasn't that religion. And we always wanted to start our own church. Well, it all is God's church, but we had a mind. God gave us a mind to, you know, start our own. And so we did. First we was up on this, I think it's 6th Street, this real big church. We went to the bottom there. No. We was out out there on Town Hall Drive. Was out there. We rented a place out there. And we rented it the 6th Street Church. And then the Masons told us we can rent their building. So we've been there ever since.
In thinking about the future of Hudson, what do you think Hudson will be like in 10 years?
What it look like? it look like, I hope it's not true, but it look like if you're poor like us, you can hardly live in Hudson. You won't be able to live here. If they don't get more affordable houses for people, you know, and their families. I would like for most of the kids to go to college here in that 2 years, but I think a lot of them just gonna wanna leave because of the way things is. And I hope all this don't cause more violence. I hope, you know, it stay, you know, all right, not so much violent. But that's what I believe. I just believe that we're not gonna be. If things don't change, if God don't work a miracle, we're not going to be able to live here because it's going to be too expensive to live here. That's the future I see, if things don't change. I'm hoping and praying that they do. Because the houses, apartments is ridiculous. But when we first come here, it was so easy to go get an apartment. I tell you, kid, it's time, you know, to go get your apartment and stuff and all that. But now it's hard. Because it's just, you can't all afford it. Like I said, the antiques is all right. It's some of this is very pretty, but it's some well, I'm not interested. I don't know about other people. I don't know too much about it. This, but it make people happy. It's all right with me. I wish I could see the future, but this is what I feel. But I see now, if things don't get better.
You'd mentioned how easy it was to get an apartment in the past.
Yes, the rent was affordable. That's right. Most of the apartments, the rent was affordable. Now it's so different. The same apartment, it's the sky. Yes, it's a lot of them. It is definitely different. Definitely. And, you know, I want my kids to be able to, well, most of my kids do have homes, but my grandkids to be able to have homes and stuff, and I would love for them to live in Hudson, you know, as long as, you know, I'm here. But I understand their feelings if they feel like, you know, they have to leave and go somewhere where it's more affordable.
Would you be able to describe one of the apartments that you lived in? Your memory of an apartment,
now,
where it was.
I used to live, my first apartment in Hudson was the high rise. Yeah, I lived on the second floor. I lived there for, I don't know, maybe 10 years. And then I moved to the ground apartments, which was, I was really happy because it was more like a house. And then we moved to that's Columbus State Street. We moved two times on State Street, and then we got a home on Robinson Street. So I'm sure my grandkids is not going to be able to do stuff like that, like move too many times because they can't afford it. Hopefully things will get better so they could be able to get a home and don't be so far from grandma.
You also mentioned violence in Hudson.
I said it's not too much. And that's why I feel like it was, you know, at the time it was a good place to raise kids or whatever. I didn't know too much about it. That's why I said about the violence. It have been some, but not a lot. And thank God for that reason. I was able to, you know, let the kids walk around without worrying about them, which is, you know, a good thing.
When people leave Hudson, where do they go? You're concerned that your family might have to move out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am from Florida. I was born in Georgia, and I was raised in Florida. So we have all kind of people in Florida. We have people in Georgia. We have people in Virginia. We have people all around. So, I also have family in Albany, Waterbury, Binghamton, and Poughkeepsie, and so my family probably, you know, go somewhere with other families. Well, I hope. I don't want them to just go where there's no family. Like I said, people always ask me, when you retired, would you want to go back? Would you like to go? Would you leave Hudson and go back to Florida? And the way I felt about Hudson then at the time, I said, no, I would just like to stay here. I like Hudson. But some things has done changed, kind of. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel in a few years about going back to Florida.
So we're almost about to wrap up the interview. Before we do, though, okay. Is there anything you wanted to mention that I didn't ask you that you thought it was important to share? Anything or anyone?
Well, nope. I think I covered everything. Yeah. I wish it God touched somebody's heart about this, the rent and the mortgage of the houses, you know, so people could have somewhere to live and more places for our kids to go, something for them to do. Yeah. And I think everything will be all right.
My last question, it's kind of a question. You mentioned that you started a choir.
Yes.
I wanted to know if there was a song that you might want to share with the archive that is meaningful to you.
My kid, the Grandma Angel's main song is Lifting Up the Name of Jesus. Yes, that's their main song. They sing quite a bit of other songs, but that's the main one.
Would you care to sing a few lines?
Oh my goodness, show me sing. You sing?
Do you want me to not look at you? I can look away.
Oh, well, I won't sing the Grandma Angel song. I sang a little bit of a song that I sang in church all the time, if that's okay. Just a little bit. I won't sing all of it. Greatest thing in all my life is serving you. Greatest thing in all of my life is serving you. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to serve you, Lord. Greatest thing in all of
Thank you.